Welcome to Highlands Church Audio Sermons. Today, March 31st, 2024, we bring you a special Easter Sunday sermon titled Made Alive by Pastor Thomas Slager. Enjoy.
There's really two outcomes that I've been praying for all week leading up to this morning, to Resurrection Sunday, as we celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. There's two places I've been praying that the Lord would lead us to. For those of us who are in faith, for those of us, not just people of faith, but those of us who are in Christ, those of us who are Christians, and by Christians, I don't mean those of us who do all the right things and say all the right things and dress all the right way and go to all the services and do all the stuff. That's not what a Christian is. That's what being religious is, but being a Christian is different. Being a Christian is someone who's placed your faith, your hope, and trust in Christ and in Christ alone in their salvation. It's all because of the good news of the gospel of Jesus that we've trusted him, and because we've trusted the work of Christ, we've found ourselves saved. That's what I mean when I say Christians. So I've been praying that God would lead all of us who are Christians to a place of just immense gratitude this morning. The gospel is not something you graduate from. I'm a firm believer that the Christian life starts with the gospel. It starts with Jesus, and the Christian life stays with Jesus. It's not as if you graduate to some bigger or better thing. Jesus is the biggest, bestest thing that we can celebrate. So I've been praying for those of us in faith in Christ that this morning we could celebrate and rejoice together in the gospel, who Christ is and what he's done on our behalf. The second thing I've been praying for is those of you this morning, to be honest, who maybe you're not a Christian. You haven't placed your faith in Jesus. Maybe you've placed your faith in other things. I've been praying a lot. Our team has been praying a lot. The whole church has been praying a lot this week just for you, that God would speak to you this morning, that he would convict you of sin, that he'd turn your eyes off of whatever you're looking for in life and turn your eyes towards Christ, and that in Christ you'd find real life, abundant life now and eternal life later. And that's where I hope the Lord will point us together today. So I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you've been there, done that. You've heard this message preached before, and you're tempted right now to just tune out, turn off, and shut down. Let me encourage you, do something different than sit, listen, and leave this morning. Would you maybe open your ears and your eyes and see what the Lord might have for you in this place this morning as we read through his word and see what it means for our life? Like I said, we're in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I want to read through it, then I'd like to pray for us, and we can jump in. Fair warning, this is a good news message, but it starts with pretty bad news. So if this sounds like that's not good at all, you're right. For the first three verses, it's not. But verse 4, it's really good news for us this morning. It starts with who we once were and maybe who you are today. Verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins, told you, not good, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Here comes the good news. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It's by grace you've been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let me pray for us. Father, well, it's my voice that's been heard. We know this morning it's your word that's been spoken from Ephesians chapter 2. And God, this morning we trust in your word as the authority for our life. God, I pray this morning you would open our eyes and maybe redirect them off the things of this world and onto your son. God, you'd open our ears to hear your voice. You'd open our minds to know you, open our heart to love you, that you'd open also our mouths, that we would leave this place and speak the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done for us. God, all of this time is yours. We pray that you would use it however you'd like to, all for your glory and your glory alone. God, we love you, we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray, amen. Like I said, those first three verses really are not good. They talk about who we once were. If you are in Christ today, this is a position you look back on. and you remember when you were there. But some of us today in this place, we're still there. It says we're dead in sin. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Now, you're physically alive, but spiritually, the Bible says we're dead. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible even says the wages of sin is death, spiritual death. We are dead in sin and separated by God by something called sin. What is sin? Think of it like this. It's an old archery term, actually. It means to miss the mark. Anyone ever shot a bow or done target practice or thrown darts or gone to the axe place at High Street or any of these places? Right? Perfection is bullseye. That's what God demands. Bullseye. Perfection. He has set the standard and he requires us to live perfectly. How are we doing? Anyone? Anyone perfect so far? Don't raise your hand because that's a lie. No, we all know we're not. We could run through just the Ten Commandments. I'm sure there's one of them in there that you've broken. We miss the mark. We sin. We are imperfect. And the wage of that sin, what's deserved, is spiritual death, because God demands perfection and we are not. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And it says, in which you once walked. Okay, there's nothing personal. Okay, I'm not telling you like something I'm not willing to accept for myself. I know that apart from Christ, I'm a sinner. There's a whole bunch of family and friends in this place this morning who know apart from Christ, they are a sinner. We're not trying to offend you. We're just trying to tell you the truth so you can realize where you're at, so you can long for something better. And for those of us who are in Christ, this is who we once were. We look back on that with gratitude in our hearts towards Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus, for pulling me out of that. Thank you, Jesus, for making me alive, for I was once dead. And it says, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. We were disobedient. It says, by nature, we were children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So the first three verses, if we stop there, where are we at? Well, not great. Not a good start for us here. Well, verse one, we're dead. Okay, that's kind of not good. The second one, we're disobedient children to our Heavenly Father. That's not really good. And where does that land us? Third thing, verse three, destined for destruction. That's where the passage starts, a realization of where we're at apart from Christ. Verse four comes along, but God. Why but God? Because there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can say, there's nothing we can strive for apart from God that'll fix this problem of sin. There's nothing we can do that'll fill that void, that'll fill that hollowness, that emptiness, that hopelessness, that helplessness. There's nothing we can do to earn our way up there. There's nothing we can chase in this world that'll somehow accomplish salvation for us. We still try to, though. We typically turn to one of two things. We turn to self, or we just turn to things of the world, right? If we're trying to do good, we just say, maybe if I can just do good and be good, God will have me. Okay, if I can tip these galactic scales, whatever that means, maybe someday I can stand before old St. Peter by the pearly gates, and St. Peter will say, well, what'd you do to get in, son? And I'll tell him, I scooped soup every Thursday. I scooped soup every other Thursday. I did it sometimes. I tried. I was a good guy. By all worldly standards, right? I was a good guy. I'm a good person. I did good things. So we try to do good or we try to be good. But even the Bible says there's nothing you can do to get there. So that's a dead end. It's a dead end. So what else do we do? Well, we try to do good. We try to be good. Or maybe we just try to feel good. But life's meaningless. I'm just going to chase whatever the world has to offer and try to fill the void that I have in my life. This God-shaped hole that we hear about that exists in our heart. I'm just going to try to fill that. I'm going to find fulfillment. I'm going to find happiness. Maybe I'll find peace. Maybe I'll find joy and success and stuff and status or just whatever my personal sin is. Maybe that'll make me feel good for a while. So we chase that for as long as we can, but where does it lead us? It leaves us empty, hopeless, helpless. And ultimately, according to the scriptures, it's a dead end road. Friends, each and every one of us, if we're in Christ, we have this thing called a testimony where we look back on our story, remember who we were, but now know who we are in Christ, and it leads us to a place of gratitude. Those same testimonies also help other people see what real faith looks like, how a real relationship with Christ fleshes itself out, how we can really be transformed and be made alive in Christ. We're gonna share one of those testimonies with you this morning. It's from my friends Matt and Holly. Matt and Holly have been here at Highlands for a handful of years, and their story is just that. I'm gonna try to be good, I'm gonna try to do good, or I'm just gonna try to feel good. But at the end of that road, all they found was helplessness, hopelessness. They felt empty and hollow and without purpose. Now, I can't help but wonder if that's some of your stories this morning. You've been running and gunning and chasing all the things, and the Lord's brought you here to hear their story. So would you turn your eyes to the screens and hear Matt and Holly's story together?
So I grew up in the church. Going to church, it was more of something to do. I didn't really understand what church was about. It just seemed like a place that a lot of people went and read through this book that made no sense to me.
Neither of my parents had any interest in bringing me to church. They were both kind of drugged to church as kids, and they just didn't want to do that to me, I guess.
I remember going to like camps and whatnot, but it was really for the activities. Like, I was there just to do something. The word of God, I'm sure, was being preached and spoken into us, but it didn't register with me. It was kind of in one ear and out the other, not intentionally by any means.
So my dad passed away when I was 19, and I didn't know who God was at that time, but I just had these questions in my mind, like, you know, why would God take my dad? My dad was a good man, and, you know, why not someone else that was a bad person in my eyes? So that kind of left me just questioning, like, who is God and why he would do this?
Went through a tough part in high school of being kind of bullied. I remember just where it all shifted. I was working as a valet and I lost a lot of weight and I didn't even realize it. And then I started getting all this attention.
I was just concerned with what society was doing and, you know, being the cool kid with the cool clothes and all the friends and being popular and partying and just living for myself and what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it.
It was all about my image. I really wanted to make sure that I looked the best when I went out. I wanted to attract the most women. I wanted to be the life of the party.
I found my self-worth in my friends, who I thought were my friends, that I realized later in life they weren't my friends. They were just also worried about themselves and self-worth and guys and kind of that validation of, you know, you're pretty and you're fun.
And then I remember 23 years old, I got a job behind a bar at one of the number one nightclubs in Scottsdale. I thrived with all of the eyes on me and my bar lined with people.
I always wanted to go to college and be a nurse and make great money and have this beautiful home. And again, things of this world measured success for me.
It was really living, I thought at that time, living a dream. I had to live this image and I didn't really realize it, right? It was just a gradual climb where I'm making all of this money, I'm making a ton of cash. And I'm spending all of that on putting off this image on my Instagram of I'm this person, I have money. And really that comes from a place of insecurity. I was so insecure.
The lifestyle I was living was toxic lifestyle. We were around a lot of not so good people and no positive influences. And we were staying up late and drinking and partying and we'd sleep all day and you just kind of wake up feeling awful about yourself, but you're just in this vicious cycle of money and having fun.
I considered myself a Christian. If people asked, I'm Christian. I didn't know what a Christian was. I didn't know who Jesus Christ is. 12 years ago, I got a tattoo of Jesus right here. 12 years ago.
I told myself that I would never date anyone else in the bar industry. Just wanted to do my thing and just live for myself and be independent, and I didn't need anyone.
I didn't really think about marriage and kids. Again, my mentors were single, and I thought it was all about money. I've always heard that there's this God-shaped hole in our heart, and nothing will fit in that hole. I was trying to stuff every single thing else into it, but I didn't know who God was.
It takes a little bit of courage to just let everyone know your junk. And I appreciate them for doing that, because I think there's a little bit of all of us in that story of searching for something else. Matt even shared, there's this God-sized, God-shaped hole in your heart, and we try to fill everything in it, and we try to be good, we try to do good, we just try to feel good, but we realize each and every one of those things are just a dead-end road. And eventually, we have to have this moment, this but God moment that we see in verse 4. See, we can't do enough, we can't say enough, not enough good things we can feel to get us there. There's nothing we can say or do on our own accord to work our way towards this salvation, towards this new life in Christ. Verse 4, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, being rich in mercy. Mercy is the act of withholding something that's deserved. Okay, so maybe later today, one of your children hypothetically breaks one of your in-laws' nice things. A punishment would be deserved. Right, they punch their brother or sister, hypothetically, never in my house. I don't know what kind of house you guys are living in, right? But that deserves punishment. There should be a consequence. Mercy is withholding that. But God, being rich in his mercy towards us, has withheld judgment. Instead, he sent his son. He's given us grace. Whereas mercy is withholding something that we deserve, grace is giving you something you don't deserve. It's giving you a gift. It's giving you blessings, even though we're dead in our sin. God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. This whole thing is about being with Christ. How do we find life? How do we find real life? How do we find real hope, real help, real peace, real grace, real purpose, real meaning, real foundation, something that's unshakable? How do we find something that doesn't shatter with everything that happens in our life? It's with Christ. It's the good news of Jesus. What's the Bible say about Jesus? Friends, that's why we're gathered here this morning, is to just talk about Jesus, who he is, and what he's done for us. The Bible says that God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to this earth to live the perfect life. We joked and laughed earlier about how none of us are perfect, right? How we all miss that mark, how we fall short of God's level of perfection. Jesus did not. He lived the perfect life, which made him the perfect sacrifice, without spot, without blemish, that he could be a sacrificial lamb in our place, that he could be the one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He came and lived a perfect life, and then the Bible says that Jesus took a cross. He took a cross to die in our place, to pay the penalty that you and I deserve to die. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid those wages on our behalf. The Bible says he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose to dead in new life, that if you and I would place our faith, our hope, our trust in Christ, so too you and I could be made alive together with Christ. Because it's by grace we've been saved. Not about be good, not about do good, not about feel good, about trust Jesus, the good things that he's done for us. Allow him to do a good work in us and then produce good works through us. He goes on, by grace you've been saved through faith. This is verse 8, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Why? Because if it was a result of works, we would find ourselves in front of old St. Peter telling him what we did to earn our way into heaven. We'd brag and we'd boast about it, but there's nothing in our own flesh, in our own sin, that we can brag and boast about. For those of us in faith, we have one brag, we have one boast. Our boast is in Christ Jesus because of who he is, because of what he's done, his perfect life, his sacrificial death and resurrection. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. There's other translations that says, for we are his masterpiece. We are his masterpiece. We are his most beautiful piece of art. Any artists out here? No one in the other services raised their hand either, in case I was gonna like pick on you. Okay, thank you for being a confident artist. I appreciate that, right? God's an artist, and he calls us his masterpiece, not just his creation, but God's masterpiece is taking what was once dead, you and I, and making us alive together in Christ. It's God's most beautiful work of art, taking someone who's dead in their sin and making them alive together with Christ because of who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. And then he goes on and says, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, it's not about us doing good to get there. It's not about us being good to try to get there. It's not about us feeling good to try to fill some void. It's not about trusting our good works. It's about trusting the good works of Jesus Christ who came and lived for us, died for us, and rose again. When we place our faith, our trust, our hope in him, we're set free from our sin. We're delivered. Christ comes and dwells inside of us, and then it says he produces those good works through us. And who gets the glory? It's Christ again. It's all about Jesus. I don't know what you've been chasing. I don't know what rat race you've been running. I don't know what do good, be good, feel good thing that it's been for you. But guys, the scriptures teach us it's not about that. It's about what do you do with Jesus? Where's your faith? Where's your hope? What do you trust in? I mean, I love Matt and Holly's story because like so many of us, when they were in the middle of it, in the middle of their muck and their mire and trying to figure it all out, but God demonstrated his love for them and revealed himself to them in powerful, mighty ways, and their lives have been transformed forever by the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's turn to their story again as we see part two of Matt and Holly.
I had everything this world could offer, but God had a way bigger and better plan. When I first moved to Dallas, I thought that the same person that was in Scottsdale was gonna end up in Dallas. And I fell right on my face. I was nobody. And I was like, wait, what happened to that person?
I got an opportunity with the bar I was working with and just kind of asked if anyone wanted to move to Dallas. And I just didn't really have much holding me back. Then that's when I met this guy.
I still wasn't thinking necessarily like marriage and kids or a relationship. Because my job, my role, I was a manager. I was out there to build this bar.
It was a tough relationship for both of us. I think just, you know, being in that industry and everyone kind of looking at us like, you know, target was on our back kind of thing. And him and I were just kind of like, something just isn't clicking here. And I think we were starting to kind of realize that there was more to life and more to this world than just, you know, him and I and working in this bar industry. And COVID hit and we were like, this is our opportunity to get out of this industry and to just do more with our lives and kind of what else is out there. Started exploring other options and he took the job in Arizona, so he moved home.
It was a couple months after I moved back and I was looking at our picture wall, just our memories and all that, and I just was like, that's the woman I want to marry. I flew her back to Arizona and I proposed, and I flew back to Dallas to pack up her U-Haul and get her out here.
We were driving through from Texas to Arizona and there's lots of dead spots. And so we were just kind of shuffling through the radio and nothing but static, and stumbled upon a station that was sounded good, upbeat. We just kind of like kept it a little bit low and we're like, oh, this is good for now. And then, you know, we start to realize like, hey, this music is good. It's upbeat. It's, you know, what is it? And it's K-Love. You know, that music was like, all right, you know, maybe this is the route we should go kind of thing.
When we had gotten back is when she had told me, we should start going to church. I'm working 6 days a week.
Our first service was Christmas service. I remember leaving that service not wanting to put too much on him because he is working so much, but I was like, what do you think about maybe twice a month we can go to church? And pretty sure he was like, no, we should go every Sunday.
I started going to church for the blessings. And I'm like, I still don't know who God is, but God sees me in church. And then I remember a video coming up about a mission trip to Rocky Point. And I looked at her and I went, let's go. I'm thinking about myself, I'm like, let's go. And we get there and I saw something that I've never seen before. I saw husband and wives interacting in a way I've never seen. And I remember sitting down and doing a study in the evening, and a gentleman from our church goes, if you want to know who Jesus is, come talk to me. I couldn't get up fast enough. I was all in at that moment.
In the beginning, I think it was more about the works. Started going to church every Sunday, and then we started serving. I was kind of wondering, man, like, this it's not really working. Like, I'm doing all these things and I don't feel any different. And
I finally realized that it's about my heart and my relationship with Jesus and building that intimacy, truly putting Him first.
I was able to see Him, you know, joining these Bible studies and being discipled, and I was just trying to navigate that myself. You know, how do I do this? Like, He's got it figured out. In the Bible study that I had joined, I was seeing a lot of, you know, self-centered versus God-centered, and that really like registered with me.
God shook some things up for us and forced us to move and get out of our comfort zone. That's when we truly started putting Christ first. You can't expect Him to really work in your life if you're just going to church just to check the box and go back to doing what you want to do. When you fully surrender, that's when God, the God that changed my life, can change yours.
God sees you and God loves you right where you're at, and you're never too broken for Him, and it's okay if you mess up. And you can ask for forgiveness and He'll forgive you.
And He doesn't just forgive me, but He forgets about them. I'm just a new creation in Him. And I think that's like the most freeing thing.
My hope is that people know that God's not done and He can change you. And yeah, if He can change me, He can change anyone.
Friends, you were made for more. You're made for more. I don't know what you've been chasing. Maybe it's being good, doing good, feeling good. Maybe life has left you thinking there's got to be more than this. There is. There is. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life, and you may have life abundantly." Abundant life here now, a life full of grace, mercy, peace, hope, love, joy. An eternal life later. Real, everlasting life. That's what Jesus came for, but the Bible's clear. We've talked about it. There's one thing that stands in our way of real, abundant, eternal life, and it's us. It's our own sin. It's our own stink. It's our own shortcomings. That's what the Bible says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is what? Death. But God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not as if God saw us and said, "Now that's someone that's good." No. But He saw someone He loved. He loves you and He has more for you. Like I said, I've been praying all week long about two opportunities. One, for those of us who are in faith and following Jesus, man, to recognize how good His grace and mercy is. And that we'd have an opportunity this morning to rejoice and worship into something we've been doing all morning. I hope you've taken opportunity to do that. And then secondly, like I said, I've been praying for a lot of you this morning that you would turn your eyes off whatever it is you've been doing. Being good, doing good, feeling good. An empty, empty road where at the end it's just death. That God would pull your eyes out of that. He'd pull your eyes off your sin and you'd set your eyes on His Son Jesus and you'd find life. Real, abundant, everlasting life. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then we shall be saved. We can be made alive. We can have new life in Christ. Two real big words there, confess and believe. Confess means to agree with. Confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord. And He doesn't need our permission. Okay, Jesus isn't the Lord because we give Him permission to be the Lord. We confess with our mouth, we agree with Him. We said, "You know what, God? You are Lord. You do call the shots. You are the Lord. You are the God of the universe. You are the creator of all things. You are the Lord. And I'm wrong. I've fallen short. Got this thing called sin in my life." We confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then we can be saved. Friends, I want to give some of you an opportunity to do that this morning. So I'm gonna invite everyone, go ahead, bow your heads, close your eyes right where you're at. Maybe for some of you this morning, maybe this is something you need to pray. Maybe you've been wandering, you've gone rogue, you've gone prodigal a little bit, and you've been chasing the world, pursuing the same dumb stuff you used to pursue that felt empty at the end of it. And you've fallen back into your old ways, you've backslidden into that person you used to be. But friends, let me remind you, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You still belong to the Lamb. He loves you, He likes you, He wants you. Maybe this morning is your opportunity to confess Him again as Lord. Confess your sins, repent, turn away from sin, and turn towards the Son of God once again. Maybe for some of you, you've had this opportunity to profess faith in Christ before and you've let it slip on by. Would you not let it slip by today? Would today be your day of salvation? So I'm gonna pray a prayer for you. If you wanna receive Jesus this morning, this isn't something you gotta say word for word. It's not a do this, check these boxes. It's just an example for you to help you pray through maybe where you're at with the Lord this morning. If it's your desire to follow Jesus, you can repeat something to me, something like this in your heart. Just, dear God, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I know I've fallen short, I'm not perfect. And God, I've been trying to find meaning and worth and value and all sorts of things. Maybe it's being good, doing good, feeling good. But God, this morning, it's your good works through your Son, Jesus, that I trust in for my salvation. So Father, I pray that you would forgive me. God, I repent of my ways. I turn from the person I used to be and I turn towards your Son, Jesus, to live. Thank you for the new life you've given me in Christ. Father, I do pray for those in this space this morning who've maybe prayed that for the who knows how manyth time. God, I pray that you would help them just calm their guilt and their shame. God, if they've wandered from you, Lord, thank you for drawing them back to you this morning. And God, for those who are who've prayed that for the first time, to devote their life to you, to get saved, to get born again, to be made alive. Father, I pray that you would give them the courage to live for you and the courage to tell someone today about the commitment they've made. God, we do thank you for this opportunity, an opportunity to just rejoice in the good news of the gospel. Rejoice in your Son, Jesus, for who he is and what he's done for us on the cross and through an empty grave. Father, thank you for the new life that we can have in Christ Jesus. Help us live for you, for your glory and your glory alone. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.